Hi, everyone. This is Ryan Ringnault, one of the pastors for the Church of Wells, and I'm continuing before you this series that I've begun on our website, www.thechurchofwells.com. And if you go to that website, you'll see on the right side of the website a little tab that says, I'm lost. How can I be saved? And in that section of the website, we've begun a series on biblical salvation, which is a quintessential aspect of Christianity, of Scripture, and of relevance to the eternal souls of men. In the first part of this little mini section in the series, we talked about false prophets and false peace, its relevance. I said in that message that I had believed this would be two parts, possibly. Now I'm believing that it might be three parts. Could be even four parts, I truly don't know. But in this part of the series, I want to talk especially to those of you that aren't right with God, or those of you that might not be right with God, or those of you that know that you are just flat out lost and you want to be saved. I want to plead with you for a little while about something God has taught me in the written Word of God and in my own personal experience. Because I love you dearly, whoever you are. And I love even you if you're an enemy of the true faith of Jesus Christ. I love you if you're an enemy of the Church of Wells and you're agreed with my church, or you've received evil communications and slanderous accusations and allegations against us, and you hate us. Truly, I love you and desire good for you, and would be willing to talk to you about why we have done what we have done and walked in the ways that we have walked in, and tried to maintain our integrity before God and before men according to the written Word of God, despite cultural norms in this day and age, which are very much contrary to the written Word of God, and even to the way that things have been in this country in previous centuries and even previous decades. Well, I'd like to talk again in this section about evil communications, about the dangers of evil communications, which is what false prophets do. And one of the fruit of them is false peace. And so this is very relevant to this little section of this series on biblical salvation, which I tried to show you the relevance of false prophets and false peace in the last section. And I beg you, please listen to my voice. Beware of evil, unrighteous counsel, evil words out of a man's mouth, flatteries, words that tell you that you're fine, when God is not saying it. The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 15:33 is a proof text I'd like to share with you all to consider. Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the written Word of God, which proves itself to be God's Word, by all the prophecies about the Messiah and what He would do and where He'd be born and how He'd live and how He'd die, was already in the Bible hundreds of years, thousands of years before He was born, many such like things like that, all the things in the end times that are happening today, and the move toward the one world order that we're seeing right now, and all the move away from Christianity now being the most persecuted religion in the world, all these things were in the Scripture, the iniquity abounding on every side, the moral decadence in our culture that we've never seen, even back in the 1940s, if they came, and people from that time were warped somehow into 2013, people that were old in that time, that had been born, say, in the 1800s, and they came, they would be shocked and startled. And all of you that are considering what I'm saying, I'm sure that you can see the logic behind that and the reasonableness of that. But in light of these things, I want to talk about evil communications and the dangers of it. And 1 Corinthians 15:33 is a proof text. Paul says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupts good manners. What that means is, when Paul says, be not deceived, before a statement, he does that about three other times in the New Testament, it means this is very important. Please consider what I'm saying. I mean this. He's talking to the Corinthian church that he loves. In evil communications, corrupting good manners, that means corrupting good intentions. And I know that many that are hearing my voice, many of you might have good intentions. And many of you that could be lost, who I'm particularly wanting to talk to right now, might desire to be saved. And I'm warning you. I'm warning you. The greatest way Satan will desire to destroy your soul is by evil communications. He'll work through men. He can work through thoughts. He can work through dreams. But he will try to speak to you and say, peace, peace, when there's no peace, or flatter you, or turn you away from the course that you're on right now. If you're trying to repent, you're trying to strive into the straight gate, and you're seeking God with all your heart because you want to find him, and you don't want false peace, and you want God to speak peace, and you want God to do a supernatural, miraculous work of salvation in your heart that I've been talking about in this series that you have not had done. Your heart has never been strangely warmed like John Wesley. I entreat you to be not deceived. Evil communications corrupts good manners. If you've ever read the book by John Bunyan called The Pilgrim's Progress, a very good example of John Bunyan relaying through this analogy, this picture of this man named Christian, who is a type of a Christian and a type of a pilgrim in this world. And the way that he gets started out, he sees a book and he reads about all these judgments that are coming upon the world and coming upon himself. And he was afraid. He read about the cross. And he was led to an evangelist who pointed him to the cross, to the wicket gate. And he was told, surely, through this man, it's implied, to turn from sin, to repent, to walk in the light that you have. And he couldn't even see the wicket gate at first, but he just saw this hill. And he said, go toward that hill, the evangelist. And he put his fingers in his ears, all of his family saying, you're crazy. You're mad. You're out of control. Sin is not a big deal. It doesn't matter if you love the world. It doesn't matter what you do with your life or how you live your life. All these things are being said. And he put his fingers in his ears. And he runs in the book of Pilgrim's Progress. And he cries, life! Life! Eternal life! He hardened his heart against evil communications from his own beloved wife and his own beloved children because he wanted to be saved. And he knew in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And again it says in Proverbs 9, forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. For those of you that are lost, whoever you are, please consider this. Your soul is important. I remember when I was seeking God, at one point I was at a very charismatic type church, and I didn't know if I was saved at that time. I was seeking God with all my heart, and I didn't want a false peace, and I knew many men are deceived. I knew the parable of the sower, of the seed in Matthew chapter 13, where that seed is planted, which is a emblematic of the Word of God, and these birds come, they snatch it away. The devil comes and snatches it away, and one of the main ways he does that is through evil communications. And thus, I was afraid. Because my whole life I've been told that I was fine and saved. When I wasn't, when I loved the world, and I loved my sin, and I loved myself, and I'd never been born again, which Jesus Christ says, if you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. And everybody said, you're fine, because I said a prayer. It was terrible, and I'd have convictions, things like that. I'd commit sin, do all manner of evil acts, and yet people would tell me that I'm fine, because I go to church, or because I confess my sins, or because I'm religious and say the right things, etc. But I'd never been born of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. How terrible. I myself was a false prophet. I remember after 8th grade, going into 9th grade, being on a mission trip, and there was a man there that was questioning his salvation. And all the leaders were trying to tell him, you're fine. And they were saying, peace, peace. When there wasn't peace, and I came up, and I knew nothing. And I was so proud and arrogant. And I said to this man, you believe in Jesus, right? He said, yeah. And I told him, you're fine, you're saved. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Something like that. May the Lord have mercy on that man. May the Lord forgive me for saying that. I knew not what I was saying. My dear friends, evil communications corrupts good manners. Be careful of it. The story that I was trying to share When I was seeking God for salvation, I was in a charismatic church, and a lady got up and she claimed to be under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, the immediate inspiration, speaking in tongues. And as she was doing this, a man stood up just afterwards and said that he had the interpretation of the message that God was relaying through this woman. It was, "I have you, I have you, I have you, I have you." And a leader of this church came to me and he said, "Ryan, I think that this is for you. I think this message is for you." And I can distinctly remember it. I didn't want to hear it. I wasn't going to hear it. I hardened my heart against such evil communication, such flattering. I knew it was not the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 26:28, "A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin." And again in Proverbs 29:5, "A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet." Beware of false prophets. Beware of evil communications. Proverbs 14:7, God says it in His Word like this: "Go, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge." If you're lost, if you need the Lord, and you don't know if you're saved, or maybe you might be lost, but you might be saved, and you don't know, please, my dear friends, so many I've seen that have had light, and God has shown them their sin in their hearts, that they're not ready to stand before God. They don't have the peace of past understanding, and they have no grounding that they should have it. They're not being washed in the blood of the Lamb. And then within days after being convicted about that, and wanting to do something about it, they're back to their sin. They're back to drunkenness, or they're back to being proud, or they're back to being worldly, etc. Condemned sins in the Scripture, they're perishing, and somebody tells them you're fine, and they believe it. Dear friends, whoever you be, please be careful about who you're listening to when it comes to doctrine. They're not turning you from sin. They're not doing you a favor. They're doing you a great misfavor, and they're doing you a great damage to your eternal welfare, and they're playing the false prophet if they're doing that, because the Bible condemns flesh and sin from cover to cover. And if somebody is talking to you and they're not doing that, they are not speaking biblical Christianity. They're not. Not if you're in sin, and they're saying that you're fine in your sin. Going on, I just want to speak more about this concept of evil communications by telling you a story to express to you all that are listening to my voice the dangers of evil communications. There was a man named Rolf Barnard, blessed man of God, that died in 1969 that I've shared about in the other messages of this series that I hope that you've heard. I pray that you will hear. I believe it would bless you and help you all to listen to these things in the right order. But Rolf tells about a story about a woman or a couple women in the northeast of the United States. And he was preaching and had some kind of revival meetings up in a church up there. And he preached and a couple of these ladies came to his meeting. And he was a man of God and the Spirit of God was with him. And thus he was striving to turn men from sins under God. And by the grace of God, just like John Bunyan did back in his day, John Bunyan said this, quote, "In my preaching of the word, I took special notice of this one thing, namely that the Lord did leave me to begin where his word begins with sinners, that is, to condemn all flesh, and to open and allege that the curse of God by the law doth belong to and lay hold on all men as they come into the world because of sin. Now this part of my work I fulfill with great feeling, for the terrors of the law and conscience and guilt of my transgressions lay heavy on my conscience. I preached what I felt, what I smartingly did feel, even that under which my poor soul did groan and tremble to astonishment." That's John Bunyan. And Rolf Barnard was made of the same mold as that man of God that wrote the book, The Pilgrim's Progress, which used to be like a textbook for many people in the English-speaking world on every side, along with the Bible. They have A Pilgrim's Progress for centuries, though many don't know about it today. You can get it at Barnes & Noble's. I hope that you will consider it. Well, Rolf Barnum was preaching a message that was condemning flesh and that was stripping men of self-righteous fig leaves to lead them to trust in the righteousness of another, in Jesus Christ. And as Rolf Barnum was preaching, these two ladies that were at his meeting heard his words and they were condemned. Like when Noah preached, a preacher of righteousness, the Spirit of God striving through him with all flesh for 120 years. It says in Hebrews chapter 11 that Noah built an ark by the which he condemned the world. He condemned the world. And as he preached righteousness, it condemned the world in his day because it was unrighteous. Because there was violence on every side. Because they were under the wrath of God. And Noah preached that he would have been lying not to do that. He wasn't going to flatter with the tongue. These two ladies heard Ralph Barner speaking a very forthright message of open rebuke, which is better than secret love. And they got afraid. They got convicted. That's not always a bad thing. By fear of God, men depart from evil. Is a man's message turning you from sin? That's a true prophet. And these ladies, after Ralph Barnett had been preaching to them these things, they came to a pastor, a false prophet, that day, and they told him about this man preaching these things and how they were condemned. And this man said, that man's off the map. That man is not to be trusted. That man is off the wall. Don't worry about it. You're fine. And he spake peace, peace to them. And he said, you're okay. Don't worry about it. And thus their wounds were healed slightly with a false peace, peace, when there was no peace to the wicked. Well, Rolf kept preaching, and for whatever reason, these ladies, he said, came back to the meeting the next time. And the same thing happened again. As he preached, they got condemned. And they were seeing that they were lost. And they were afraid. And they went back to this false prophet, and this is terrible. The man again said, don't listen to that man. This man's off the wall. This man cannot be trusted. He's out of control. And the man contradicted what Rolf said, and he told them, you're fine. Here, look, the Bible says this, and twisted some scripture, and spake peace, peace, and flattered with the tongue, but didn't deliver their soul. The Bible says, a true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. And at this time, at this point, these ladies went insane. They literally lost their minds. And Ralph Barnum was preaching a sermon where I heard this story about 10 years later. And he said those ladies were still in some kind of psych ward, some kind of insane asylum because of evil communications, which is not a game. This is not a light matter. And I entreat you, whoever you are, if you want to be saved, you want to follow Jesus Christ, don't hear it. It says in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 7, another passage, another scripture on this concept, cease, my son, to hear the words of instruction, which causeth thee to err, the words of knowledge. I'd like to close this short message, but important concept and principle in the Word of God for those that desire to follow the Lord, whoever you are, wherever you come from, whether you're a professing Christian or not. I'd like to close with a couple stories in Scripture expressing this concept. The first one's in 2 Samuel chapter 10. And in this instance, there was a king of Ammon named Nahash, and he died. And Nahash had done well for David. And thus King David had sent ambassadors to Nahash's son to comfort him in the death of his father, to console him. And they went, the ambassadors, in the name and the authority of David. And they went, and there were certain princes of this king that spake in the ears, whispered in the ears of this man, the king of Ammon, and said, David comes not to comfort you in the death of your father, but David comes to spy out the land. David comes for mischief and spake these evil things. And thus this man took the ambassadors of David, shaved off their beard, cut off part of the cloth from their buttocks, and exposed them, shamefully entreating them, sent them away to the shame, especially that culture where to have a beard halfway cut off and to be shaven was a great tragedy. And obviously in any culture, to have part of your pants by your buttocks cut off, it's a grievous thing. And they left, and David told them to stay at Jericho, and he saw what they had done, and Ammon saw that they stank in the eyes of David, and they prepared for a military endeavor against David, and David prepared his military, and he wiped them out because of that, and multitudes were slaughtered because of the evil communications of these princes. Please be careful with your immortal, never-dying soul. and evil communications. Whoever you are, I entreat you. I beg you. This is something that many don't understand. Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, is a spirit of flattery and will be flattering. An imminent type of Antichrist in Scripture is Antiochus Epiphanes, a man that greatly persecuted God's people, the Jews, back in around 180 B.C. And when he came to power, it says in Daniel 11:21, "And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries." He's a flatterer in the anti-Christian spirit, which will be epitomized and personified in the anti-Christian person in the end times. Could be here today. Will be a flatterer, spreading a net for his neighbor, speaking peace, peace when there's no peace, but not turning men from sin, not delivering them from sin, but justifying them in their sin, sealing them in their sin to their own destruction eternally, to the grief of the souls of all righteous men. Oh, don't listen to evil communications or those speaking false peace, my dear friends. Wait on God to speak peace that coincides with the truth of his words. Finally, there was a dear man named Jehoiada the priest, and he lived to be 130 years old. This man was a priest during the time when the throne of David was usurped by a queen, the daughter of Jezebel, and the daughter of Ahab named Athaliah. Athaliah took the throne upon the death of her son, who was killed by Jehu, doing judgment in Israel at that time. And she killed all the seed royal that she could of the sons of David who were supposed to reign in Judah. But one of them was spared. In the providence of God, Joash was spared. And Jehoiada the priest and his wife brought him to the temple and fed him and took care of him and hid him away for 6 years. And on the seventh year, Jehoiada the priest strengthened himself on behalf of the king Joash, who couldn't defend himself, being only 7 years old at that time. And he fought against Athaliah and got the throne for Joash and spared his life in saving him and then gave him the kingdom. And then for many years, he was the great counselor for Joash. He even helped to find the wife for Joash. He'd introduced Joash, no doubt, unto his own sons, like Zechariah. But yet at 130 years old, at a good old age, after doing so much for Israel, he was buried with the kings in the king's sepulchers, though he was a priest, but he was as a king. And he did much as many kings. He was buried, Jehoiada the priest, and died. After he died, Joash, who now was a grown man, began to hear evil communications, bad counsel from carnal men, from the princes of Israel who came. Before long, this little leaven of evil communications, which is a world of iniquity, which is a great danger to the souls of men, corrupted this man. And Jehoiada, the priest's son, Zechariah, was preaching against the corruptions and sins of Joash. And Joash consented to and took part in the stoning of the son of his own, as it were, adopted father, Jehoiada, his own, as it were, adopted brother. Zechariah was stoned. And this was a fruit of the princes flattering the king and the princes' evil communications. And because this man, Joash, thought probably that he was above it, that he wouldn't be destroyed by the poison of it. But inasmuch as physical poison, if you drink it, except God supernaturally, who can do anything, protected you from it, it would be suicide. It would destroy you in the same way the Scripture teaches that evil communications is poison. It corrupts good intentions. Whoever you are, and you or I or anybody else under the sun, is proud to think that it would not affect us. If you're lost today, if you don't know where you stand before God, if you've been converted but you're backslidden, please, my dear friends, stay away from evil communications and those that want to make you feel good or pat you on the back, those that love to flatter with the tongue and spread a net for their neighbor. It's evil. It's wicked. And it's destructive to the souls of men. We need more men that are old-time Christians and biblically rooted. And they have a type of love that Scripture calls love, which is this: open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke him, and not suffer sin upon him. As many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. Be zealous, therefore, and repent, and rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. We need more men like that.
Finally, friends, I did want to mention a couple other examples of evil communications, and to show the deadliness of it, and to show the danger of it, in a couple very important examples and pictures in Scripture that we have and of godly men, even of our Savior Himself. And the first example that I wanted to mention was the 10 spies that spake evil communications to all of Israel in Numbers chapter 13 and 14 when they had spied out the promised land. Obviously, there was two faithful spies who spake good communications and right words, and that was Joshua and Caleb. But the other evil, false prophets, these men spake an evil report about the promised land, and through their witness, saying that there's giants in the land, saying that they have walls fenced up to heaven, saying unbelieving words, magnifying the giants and magnifying the walls fenced up to heaven and the obstacles and the odds against them above the grace of God and above the promise of God. This evil communication was so deadly when the Israelites, which were over 1 million strong, believed the report that over 1 million Israelites apostatized, denied Jesus Christ, at that point set themselves a little bit later on to stone Joshua and Caleb. They were going to stone Moses and Aaron. They would have stoned them. All the men that stood with God, they stood against because they heard the words of these men who were denying God through their evil communications and through their carnal reasoning. And they spake these evil words. This was such a great sin that if you look at Numbers chapter 14, when the Lord destroyed that whole generation, some of them died a very special death. They died before the Lord by a plague, by a pestilence, pestilential-like plague in Numbers 14. And that was these 10 spies. These 10 evil men. Those evil communications are dangerous, my friends. Remember Proverbs chapter 18, verse 5. It says, it is not good to accept the person of the wicked to overthrow the righteous in judgment. And that's what happened. They accepted evil communications from these false witnesses, these evil communicants, which were the 10 spies that brought a bad report. And thus they slandered the promised land in their heart. Thus they slandered the God of the promised land. And then they slandered the men who believed the God of the promised land and believed in the Lord and saw the Lord above the giants and saw the Lord who is a consuming fire above all the obstacles and odds that would be stacked against them by sight in Israel and taking over Palestine. Another example that needs to be shared is Job. In Job chapter 1. And obviously, as most of y'all would know, many know about the book of Job. In Job chapter 1 and 2, you see that Job was the mightiest man, the richest man, the most godly man. He eschewed evil, he feared God, and the devil came against Job and accused Job. And the Lord himself had even said, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil said, he'll deny you if I can do this and this and this and etc. And the Lord let him do it because he believed that Job would not deny the Lord. And so what the devil did was smite his children. And what the devil did was kill all of his livestock and take a lot of it away. And he was plagued on every side all at the same time. Billow upon billow upon billow came upon him. And eventually, though, he came to the place where he didn't deny the Lord. He just said, the Lord giveth and he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, naked came I into this world and naked shall I return thither. Or naked came out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord giveth and taketh away. Blessed is the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not with his lips. But finally, the final test came when his wife, the wife of Job, who obviously had some righteousness once upon a time, or Job would not have married her or been with her, but notwithstanding at this point, she is not believing the gospel. She's being used of the devil. And she comes in chapter 2, verse 9 of the book of Job. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. That's evil communications. But my friends, Job knew what I'm saying in this recording, and so Job would not suffer it. He would not hear it, and he reproved and rebuked those evil words in a righteous way. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speakest. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? He eventually did sin, but notwithstanding, the Lord had mercy upon him at the end of the book of Job, as you will see. And notwithstanding, at that point, he had not sinned. Finally, my friends, you must look at your Savior. You must look at Jesus Christ. Well, He's your Savior if you're saved. He's your Savior if you've surrendered your life and given all to Christ, as I've been saying in this series, in the certain parts of the series. In Matthew 16, a disciple of Jesus Christ that many have heard of, even non-Christians have heard of, the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter came to the Lord when Jesus Christ was trying to tell His disciples the truth that He had to go to the cross, the truth that He was going to suffer, and Peter would not hear it. Peter would not hear it. The Lord said in Matthew 16:20, to give you the words, "Then charged He His disciples that they should tell no man that He was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." Obviously, Peter didn't like that. And he didn't want the Lord to be killed. And he didn't want to suffer because he had sin in his heart, which eventually found him out in Gethsemane. He was falling asleep, then he denied the Lord thrice. Even by an oath, he was denying the Lord. Well, he had sin in his heart and carnal reasoning. He was thinking the kingdom of God was going to come right then and there in power, civilly, but at that point it wasn't the Lord's will. And right now the kingdom of God is not a civil kingdom. There's no civil powers given to the people of God as a kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom, but one day Jesus Christ will come again and reign, not only in the spiritual kingdom of God, but worldwide, civilly, not right now. In verse 22, then Peter took Jesus after saying that he was going to be crucified, he was going to lay down his life, he was going to be betrayed, he was going to face this great contradiction of sinners, and then be raised again on the third day. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." This was evil communications, my friends. And Jesus Christ Himself never did sin. He walked in the Spirit. He was fully God and He was fully man. But He was walking as a man by faith. He was. He was not cheating. He was not overcoming the world and overcoming sin and overcoming the devil as deity and as walking as God and calling upon those powers of deity that He had being fully God. No, He was walking by faith as a man. He had the Spirit of God without measure, like it says in the book of John. But we know, for instance, in Mark chapter 13, that Jesus Christ said, "The Son of Man knoweth not that hour. My Father knoweth that hour, but the Son of Man doesn't know it, nor the angels of heaven," the angels of God. As God, He did know it. As man, He didn't know it, because He was not walking in those powers of deity by faith. He was walking as their example. And that's why He will say, "Follow me as I follow the Father," or "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." So here in Matthew 16, when He was evil communicated, when He was apt to be or attempted to be subverted by Peter and Peter's worldly wisdom, He did not suffer it. He did not take it lightly. He said in verse 23, "But He turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto His disciples," this was right communications, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" I'll close there, friends, with examples. Please beware of false prophets. Beware of evil communications. Beware of evil reports. Beware, my friends. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupts good manners.
May the Lord bless all of you that have heard my voice. May the Lord keep you from evil communications. May the Lord save your soul if you're lost and you need salvation. You're all welcome and anyone's welcome. If they need me, contact me. My email is on the website. Truly desire mercy and good for all of your souls. Sincerely. Thank you very much.